You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. This episode is brought to you by Mosey Pro for Business, protecting the data that powers your business. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Shel Horowitz, a green ethical business success strategist and author of the book, Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green, Winning Strategies to Improve Your Profits. Shel, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Good to be here.
Our privilege as well, Shel. So you describe yourself as an ethical green marketing expert. How does ethical green marketing differ from ordinary marketing?
Well, for one thing, it has the consent of the people being marketed to, and this is, I think, a really important distinction, because in much traditional marketing, you are shoving a message at a crowd and hoping that somebody notices. And typically, with green products and services and reaching a green audience, it's quite different from that. You come into people as someone who they know, like, trust, and want to do business with, and the way you do that is by presenting that you are a greener and more ethical alternative. It's a much softer sell, and it's a much stronger sell, I think, because instead of having to shove a sales message at somebody who may not want to hear it, you're helping that person solve a problem, ease a pain, achieve a goal, and you're doing this in the way that demonstrates that you have a solution that is perhaps more environmentally friendly and more in line with the person's values than other solutions. So basically, you're more like just they're swimming to you, you know, and you're just standing there with your hand out waiting for them to arrive.
Nothing better than that. Now, your eighth book is Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green with a co-author who's done more than 60 books. You have a foreword by Stephen M. R. Covey and more than 50 endorsements. What's guerrilla marketing and what's green guerrilla marketing?
Way back in 1984, which was the same year I first wrote my first marketing book, but that one did not have the traction that his did. And when you take that into the green environment, you're really looking at, again, putting out a roadmap for people to find you. People will be attracted to you rather than you were going out there and stuffing your face in front of them and yelling at them. You're going to be looking at applying to the green principles, showing how your products and services are appropriate, and there's often a lot of education involved in green guerrilla marketing because people don't always know what's an environmentally friendly solution or what is not. So you're doing a lot more helping people understand about what it is they're doing. You know, as an example, biodiesel, okay? Everybody knows that diesel comes from fossil fuels. Fossil fuels are not so good. When you talk to people about how biodiesel can come from used French fry oil from a restaurant, it's kind of a different conversation because they have to first understand what you're talking about and second, understand how this is actually green even though land is being consumed. There's a lot of trade-offs in this stuff that you have to go back and forth and figure out which is really the green alternative and walk people through it.
Very interesting stuff. This episode of Enterprise Radio here on EPN is brought to you by Mosey Pro for Business. Folks, when it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Earthquakes, floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other disasters threaten destruction, including the safety of your servers and computers. What would you do if you lost your data due to a disaster? 50% of businesses that find themselves without data management for 10 days or more file for bankruptcy. Mosey Pro's secret is that it's unbelievably easy to use and affordable for organizations of all sizes. If your business is not backed up with Mosey Pro, you really need to make sure your data is backed up. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using promo code PODCAST. 1515. Call 877-669-9776. Again, 877-669-9776, or visit moseypro.com today. So, Shell, people tend to think of green anything as expensive and complicated. Is that true for green marketing?
No, it's not, Eric, and it's not true for green in general. In fact, one of the things I love about the green world is the win-win you get when you put into place a green process that is cheaper and easier than what you had before. I'll give you an example from my own business. Okay, several years ago, my laser printer got kind of old and funky, and I needed a new one, and I shopped around for one that's got what's called duplexing. What that means is that I can set it to print both sides of the page. Well, that printer did not cost me any more than a single-sided printer would, saves me about 40% of my paper cost, and, of course, is much greener because much less paper is being used. So just that one simple little thing made me a greener business and saved me 40% of paper and cost nothing extra. I was going to have to buy a printer anyway. You can look at this on a huge scale. A company like Walmart has done a lot. Now, Walmart, there are no tree huggers at Walmart, okay? It's one of the greenest companies in the world, and it is a green company because they understand that they can make a ton of money and save a ton of money by going green. So they've done things like making sure their truck cabs have little auxiliary motors so you can heat or cool the cab without having to run the big diesel main engine. They've done all sorts of sustainability stuff in their stores and their warehouses and in their supply chain. And, again, they are not doing it because they want to be cool and groovy. They are doing it because they see the business case made for this. And, in fact, they have a nice new profit center the last few years selling organic and natural foods to people who will absolutely never set foot in a Whole Foods.
Today we are joined by Shell Horowitz, a green ethical business success strategist and author of the book Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green, Winning Strategies to Improve Your Profits, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. How and why should businesses seek alliances with their competitors? I know that's something that you do talk about.
I do certainly talk about this, Eric, because I'm a real believer in this. You end up spending less money, reaching new audiences, having powerful, powerful partnerships. Big companies understand this. You know, did you ever wonder how the Postal Service, let's face it, is not known for its reliability? How do they do express mail? How can they guarantee next-day delivery when much of the time you can't even know that a piece of mail you sent a week ago has gotten there yet? They did it by partnering with FedEx. How did General Motors put together the Chevy Nova of 1986 to 1988? Wonderful car. I had one of those. It was a really good car.
My dad, mom did too.
Yeah, that car was Toyota. That was a Toyota Corolla in pretty much everything except the grill and the key design. And it was $2,000 cheaper than the Corolla model, which is why I bought it. And, you know, so big companies get this. I, as a very much smaller entity, with the launch of Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green, I went to my network of newsletter editors and bloggers and internet marketers and people who have an audience. And I said, here's why you want to partner with us, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I gave them reasons. I showed them how helping me with my launch was going to bring them new audiences and et cetera, et cetera. And, well, I have on my email list and on my social media contacts together roughly 25,000 people that I can reach. By my best estimate, Eric, this launch campaign reached 5 million people. That is the power.
Wow. Boy, you're not kidding. That is nailing it to the wall. Now, but what if my competitor or competitors don't act that way? They may be trying to take advantage. Or what's your thought on that?
Well, first of all, don't partner with jerks. You know, there's in any industry, there's going to be good people and people who are not so good. Find the good ones.
Right.
Partner with them.
Yeah.
You know, the ones who are not going to get this, the ones who are stuck in old, early 20th century business thinking, that are they're the ones who are not going to necessarily survive because they're handicapping themselves. You know, years and years ago, a new competitor opened up here, and I, at that time, my business was mostly local. And I picked up the phone and called him and welcomed him to the business and said, if I can help you. And he was so rude And the very next edition of the phone book, less than a year later, he was already gone. People don't want to deal with jerks.
They certainly don't. And I don't either. One of your boldest arguments is that companies shouldn't worry about market share because market share doesn't matter. And how can you say this, and why shouldn't businesses be focused on becoming major players in their market?
Well, interestingly enough, one of the other people who said this was Herb Kelleher, who was the founding CEO of Southwest Airlines. He said, never mind market share. You want to worry about profitability. It's not worth it to him to acquire a customer if he has to go so low in price to get that customer that he's not making any money on it. So for me as a consultant, and for many of your listeners as small business owners, you can't dominate the market. I mean, how many marketing consultant work orders are there in a day? You know, millions. How many of those can I comfortably handle in a day, two or three at tops? I don't want to have a 60% market share of the marketing consulting business that's out there. I would never get any sleep. I would never get a meal in. I'd never get to hike my mountain. And I still wouldn't be able to even begin, even if I brought on staff. Because there's a quality issue here. You want to make sure that the quality you're delivering is good. And if I'm having freelancers working for me, I've got to be able to have them do a job that I know is going to be a good job for my clients. So I am totally happy to have a profitable small business where I am doing several clients a month and doing them well and making good money with them and not worrying about the others. In fact, if somebody's not right for me, I'll say, hey, you know, you might be a good fit for so-and-so. Why don't you give them a call and tell them I sent you? And there's the thing about working with your competitors again. So-and-so then says, oh, here's a guy who's actually sending me work that he could be doing. And it works out. Everybody's happier because whether you're selling products or services, you want to be able to deliver really high quality to your people. And you want them to come away saying good things about you. You don't want to get so big that you're screwing up or so big that you're bureaucratized and can't move quickly when there are new developments. So I would say don't worry about market share, but worry about developing a market where you're the solution and really doing that market well. Look at, for example, Ben & Jerry's, which is incidentally another very, very green company that everybody's heard of. Ben & Jerry's is not trying to be the number one ice cream seller. They are trying to be one of the top two super premium ice cream sellers, and they are trying to be the one that has the green and ethical message in every place that you do. So if you've got a choice between buying Ben & Jerry's and buying their biggest competitor, Häagen-Dazs, which does not have that kind of messaging around the environment, around social good, where are you going to put your money? The ice cream tastes pretty much as good either way. You're going to buy the one that helps the world. So by doing that strategy and not even worrying about market share, this particular company, Ben & Jerry's, ends up with 40 or 45% of not the whole ice cream market, but the much more lucrative super premium ice cream market. They're not trying to compete with the people who are selling $1.50 a gallon sludge and calling it ice cream.
You talk about some interesting perspectives here on this show, and in conclusion, I want to get your thoughts on this. This is standard on the program. At the conclusion, we always like to have some parting advice that you could lend to the entrepreneur that's tuning in, that's desiring to start a business or to initiate a creation of their own by putting it on the map in the marketplace. What's your advice for those folks?
Okay, my first and biggest piece of advice right now would be to build your business in green from the get-go, because right now it's a marketing advantage. In somewhere between 2 and 10 years, it'll be a necessity. If you do not have a green business, you do not have a business. That is the world we are moving to. So by now setting it up and being able to differentiate yourself from competitors who maybe haven't done as good thinking about how to be green, you're able to go to the marketplace and say, look, here is how you can get your needs met and help the world at the same time. And that is going to be a very, very powerful incentive to do business.
I would certainly agree with that. He is Shel Horowitz, a green ethical business success strategist and author of the book, Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green, Winning Strategies to Improve Your Profits. And the website is greenandprofitable.com. Shel, certainly has been a pleasure to have you a part of Enterprise Radio this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Eric.
You're welcome. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, brought to you by Mosey Pro for Business, protecting the data that powers your business. We do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to EPN.